Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. Last hour, we were talking best and worst of the Pac-12. And rivals, sorry guys, you do a lot of great work. You screwed up that list. So we're aggregating our listeners, and we will have our own list, and we'll unveil it in the 8 o'clock hour. So best to worst 1 through 12 football uniforms, Pac-12, go. Send them in to us, 503-250-1080. One thing that is happening is we're getting a lot more of test counts and test results going on. Obviously, last week, North Carolina and Ohio State both hit the pause button on their returns to activities and their voluntary workouts because of positive tests. Oregon State unveiling yesterday that yet again, they continue to go down the roads of staying healthy in their return. They've only had one positive test in their since their return. And you're sitting there, first of all, they are being forthright and upfront with how tests are going, although we don't know how many tests have been administered. They're saying that everybody except for men's and women's golf, they have multiple athletes from each sport on campus except for men's and women's golf. And they've had one test come back positive. And so if you're sitting there and you're looking at, these college athletes in a bubble, we are hearing a lot of the horror stories of what's going on. And whether it's, 30 plus at LSU and Clemson and, Kansas State having to pause their workouts as well. Oregon State is finding a way where they are doing it. Now, it helps them that they are in Benton County, where they are not there in a whole heck of a lot of positive tests happening. But there's also, programs like Oregon where we don't know what's going on with Oregon because they're not releasing anything, whether how many positive tests they have or the status of, how many tests are being administered. But it appears on the surface that outside of Arizona, which the University of Arizona put a burp on their workouts because of what's just going on in their state as a whole. My goodness, in Arizona, it's bad. You're looking at there are several programs where it is being handled properly. There are not a lot of positive tests seemingly coming out of the Pac-12 right now. It does appear that the student athletes are taking it seriously. And this is the biggest problem that you're going to have is if college football is going to happen and it is becoming more and more apparent that the big decision makers in college football are feeling like it's not right. The Pac-12 in their announcement where the Larry Scott even said it in the press release on going to a conference only schedule that players have an opt out. If you don't feel safe, you are in good standing with your program, in a good standing with the university, and your scholarship will be honored. And you can always come back once you do deem it safe. Okay. It does appear by saying things like that, they are going to try and get as many games in as they possibly can. But, college football as a whole across the country, you're going to be looking at a situation where even guys like Paul Feinbaum are saying we could see it where there's a couple conferences that just opt not to play in the Power Five, and only three of the Power Five conferences are in action this year.
Wouldn't that be wild? A whole different roadmap to the playoff.
Well, and when you
if you get there,
when you hear Greg Sankey, who went on Feinbaum's show yesterday, it sounds like one of those conferences that we thought they would play at all costs is having some serious apprehensions because they're in 11 states. And by the way, they're 11 of the worst states right now.
What do you need to see before you feel comfortable letting the SEC play football this fall?
Well, that's the beauty of time is I've said to you before, it's an asset. It's slipping away. It's rapidly slipping away. From a metric standpoint, we've talked about what are the right evaluative tools. Our campuses are doing the same. And the fact that we've seen increasing cases over the last few weeks across our region is not a positive indicator. So that's just a statement.
You know, time was on their side, and he's looking at the facts and just saying the facts just aren't there in those states where they can't get in, especially when you have a school, you know, in the state of Florida. You know, the University of Florida and the SEC, not good. South Carolina, not going well there, and they're taking a look at it and going, all right, you know, we want football more than anybody else. We are the SEC, where our conference motto is, it just means more, right? And if you look at it, and honestly, it's just not in a place where it could happen. You could see, we talked about this at the very beginning of all this, could there be teams within a conference that just aren't playing?
Yeah, that, I mean, there are so many different scenarios that could be considered, that have to be considered. But the other thing, I mean, I think about the Oregon State situation where they have, it seems like, at least outwardly, that they are having tremendous success in keeping their athletes safe and producing negative tests. And I don't, and we've talked a lot about the absence of kind of one blanket leadership here with what's going on here. It's too bad that there aren't, I mean, and maybe there are, but is a school like Oregon State sharing their guidelines with other schools to enable being able to make that happen? And obviously different areas, different population density, you know, there's so many things that go into where outbreaks are going to occur and how to keep people safe. But I kind of hear what's going on at Oregon State and I see where it's bad other places. And I wish and wonder if programs could be sharing more or would be more successful collectively if there was a little more, you know, blanket oversight. But again, that's a tough thing to set up just on a whim.
Yeah. And it's completely unfair to hold, you know, UW, Arizona State, USC, UCLA to adhering to guidelines similar to what Oregon State is, because sure. Corvallis.
But there's still maybe things that they're doing there that they could right. do, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah, but being in those major markets, and this is one of the things that the Pac-12 is up against, is that you are in major, major cities. You have two teams in Los Angeles. You have one in Tempe, which is Phoenix. You know, you have a team in Seattle, the Bay Area schools. You know, you have Salt Lake City. You know, major cities where in this is where you start seeing those maps of states rolling back what they were doing instead of, you know, here in Oregon, we're on a pause, but they're rolling back in California and Arizona and in a lot of states in the South. You do wonder, what is Oregon State doing that may be so different than everybody else, besides the fact of just being in Corvallis where not a lot of people are on campus?
Maybe they're not doing anything different. And that's what I wish we knew, and I wish that, you know, everyone were sharing with each other what's working, what's not. How much is based on your circumstances and how much is based on how you're handling it?
And one thing that I find very interesting is that yesterday, two programs did this. Clemson and Oklahoma State sent out surveys to their boosters, and I think Oklahoma State did it to their season ticket holders, but they sent out surveys to their boosters at Clemson specifically, that asked them a variety of questions. And among the questions is, would you rather have a season with no fans in the stands in the fall or with fans in the spring? And that will be a very fascinating results to see if they do opt to make them public, which I don't know if they even wanted that public, that they even sent that survey out to their boosters. But they're asking the people with the pocketbooks what they would rather have. And look, I mean, we've been talking about this since day one. Yeah, it is college sports, but it is a multi-billion dollar industry that they're worried about here. And they're worried about salvaging as much of the TV money as they can so they can pay for not just football, but all the other sports going on at the universities. It may not be the right move to move football in the spring. It may be a horrible idea, a bad idea from a player safety standpoint, and it could be a bad idea from a standpoint of, you know, just having a spring schedule and screwing up the old NCAA calendar.
Well, and that's why I don't totally understand why they're polling their boosters or their season ticket holders, because if if it is the if it's the player safety, what is it, what that is kind of at the forefront? What does it matter when the fans would prefer it and how they would prefer it?
Yeah, and it, well, because it's about money.
Well,
them,
and
right?
I get that that's where it comes from. But again, if you can't, like, it's short sighted. If you can't pull it off safely in the fall, and it may not be safe in the spring either. But if either one of those situations aren't safe, then you're not going to be able to collect the money that you think you're going to be able to collect.
That's 100% true. Yes, you are right. But that does, it is a clear signal that
that's the priority.
Although you do have a lot of folks out there who feel that it is a bad idea, and I don't think it's a scenario that they want to do. And I think it would be the absolute worst case scenario to move it in the spring. And you guys, we talked about this last week, and Cam is on board with this line of thinking. He's been saying this long before they said it last week, but Urban Meyer, Matt Leinart said it would be horrific to move football to the spring. That survey is a clear indicator that it is under consideration, and it would be an absolute worst case scenario that they would have to go through. But the wording of that one, would you rather have no fans in the stands in the fall or fans in the stands in the spring? That's a fascinating way to go about it, because you're asking the boosters then, and that will help form their opinions as athletic departments as they're talking about what the options are moving forward. And what they are moving forward is that you got some places that are going through this thing, and like Oregon State, who they're doing it without a rash of positive tests or any positive tests outside of the one that they had in their initial testing round. But then you have programs, LSU, Clemson, which it's not going well for them. Ohio State, North Carolina, not going well for them. And how this is going to shape up, you know, Feinbaum is saying it. You heard Greg Sankey saying time no longer on our side. It's looking more and more like this thing is if you do have a conference-only schedule, there may be conferences that just stop. Hey, we're going to do it in the fall. Some conferences opt to do it in the spring. It would be a complete break, which would be totally bizarre, or just not even playing in at all some conferences this fall. That would be weird to see. If you were to have a split, that would be even worse. Than I think that's what the Power Five needs to do, is they need to be unified. Either we're going to do it in the fall and we're going to see how many games we can get in, or we all go to the spring, because they can't do it in a split. You can't have three in the fall and two in the spring.
That's the other thing I found peculiar, like about the asking the Clemson boosters. Well, what if they all, even if they all voted unanimously, yes, we wanted this one way, does Clemson hold enough sway that they can just dictate that's when the rest of their conference is going to play? Probably not.
No, but they're using that as a measuring stick. And I'm sure that these surveys are going to be going out to a lot of other schools. Look, we've got 2 weeks until both the ACC and SEC are going to go down these roads and make that decision and what they're going to do with the season, because we've been saying it, time's running out. We're going to figure it all out. But Oregon State, things are going in positive signs out of Corvallis as, again, another round of testing, zero positive tests for Oregon State. They're doing something right down there in Corvallis.
Go Beavers! How about that?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.